to the village board meeting. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
How's this?
Does that work, Clarence?
This is on.
Hello?
Oh, there you go.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Can anyone else?
There we go.
Who forgot to turn something on?
I did. I forgot to turn it on.
We're all guilty. None of us turned it on.
As charged. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll call our meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
And Trustee Sampson is excused. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt as presented.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Can I ask who made the motions?
You can. Trustee Ginner.
Second.
Dart.
Trustee Ginner.
Am I talking too loud?
No, we're trying to make sure it's not getting feedback.
Oh.
Okay.
How's this?
Dancing.
Okay. Announcements. June 23rd and 24th, you can visit Heritage Hill for the Civil War reenactment. What are the hours of that? It's from 10 to 4:30. Thank you. Oh, 10 to 4:30. And there is information on the Heritage Hill website, heritagehillgb.org. Update on North Riverside Drive pedestrian crossing.
Yeah, we are currently preparing final plan specifications and estimate for a pedestrian project at the north end of town at the intersection of Marine and Riverside Drive. We'll be at installing a flashing beacon, crosswalk, and ADA compliant curb ramps. The project also includes a sidewalk along the north side of Marine Street to connect the Riverside sidewalk to the Fox River Trail. We are currently securing all the permits that we need for this project, which includes permits from the DNR and DOT. We're working with Meade & Hunt to get the permits and to finalize the plans. We're hopeful to do that by the end of this month, and then month of July, publicly bid the project with a bid opening end of July, with a start date probably early to middle of August. The work is anticipated to take probably 3 to 4 weeks. Should also point out that the project also includes repair to about 230 feet of sanitary sewer from Manhole and Riverside Drive to the Interceptor Sewer. The repair will be a trenchless method. We had discovered early on that the existing 10-inch clay pipe is failing at the joints. The joints are vertical, shifted vertically. We're going to use a trenchless technology that's called pipe bursting, and we're going to pull an existing pipe or a new pipe through the existing to repair it. And we anticipate the cost of this project to be, with the sewer repair, roughly $150,000
to $175,000. Okay. Thanks, Sean.
Is the new pipe a flux of some kind?
Yes. Yes. The HDPE pipe.
Interesting.
And repairing it that way is obviously much cheaper than.
In that existing environment over there, if you go in and open cut, especially open cut Highway 57 open cut across, I think we own lot, but to cut across that property with the slope, it's cheaper to repair it through this torrential cement method.
Great. Thank you. And our alleyway beautification committee is running a flower fund drive. If you drive up and down Webster Avenue, you'll notice pots in the medians with beautiful flowers. And that is thanks to our alleyway beautification committee. They are able to get those flowers and have the maintenance done on those, thanks to donations from private residents and businesses. If you want to learn more, you can go to their website, which is alloybeautification.org. You can also send a check. You can donate online, and you can also send a check to U.S. Bank in care of the Alloy Beautification Committee, the U.S. Bank on Webster. And if you'd like to speak to someone, there's probably information on the website, but you can call Leslie Prang at 920-435-8903. We thank them for what they do. We get many comments as people drive through our village about how beautiful it is, and that in great part is due to those efforts. So we thank all of those folks. This Friday, June 22nd, if you are hungry for lunch or an early dinner, the Alloway Business Association is hosting a brat fry at Webster Avenue Market, and you can actually place an order up until this Thursday, and they will deliver it to your place of work, I believe. Hamburgers cost $3, brats cost $3, various chips cost $1. You'll have some folks from the Village Board and the Village of Alloway Business Association cooking that fine feast, but it's a great way to help the local community. Funds from that brat drive go to support the Alloway Business Association Junior Excellence Award, which is an essay writing contest for fifth graders at both Webster School and Father Alloway Schools. We have a career day for them. They get to learn about different careers. They get to consider what they may want to do and then learn what it means to be excellent in those careers. And then they write those essays, they are graded, and we come up with winners. But it's a great event. It's in its fourth year, and those funds from the brat fry go to support that effort. So that's this Friday from 11 to 5. And then on Thursday, June 28th, for those of us, age 55 and over, there is a senior summer picnic at Green Isle Park. It's being put on by the Village of Alloway, Howard Suamico. Live music is going to be provided by Talk of the Town. Enjoy a picnic buffet with burgers, brats, and hot dogs, along with all the fixings. The door prizes are sponsored by Assisted Living by Hillcrest, and the cost is $17 per person. So that's Thursday, June 28th. Any other announcements from the board? Any other announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Mr. Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. President, fellow board members. I'm Don Snyder with Lamar Outdoor, and I'm here to request you folks to direct the staff to sit down and see if we can come to an agreement on converting our billboard at St. Mike's on Riverside to a digital.
Okay. So the one right next to St. Mike's?
Correct. It's up against the railroad tracks. It's in a non-residential area. There's no intersections anywhere near it. And I'm willing to partner with you folks to allow space for the village to promote whatever the village would like on that portal.
Okay. Very good, sir. Any questions for Mr. Snyder? Okay. Brad?
The reason we'd asked Mr. Snyder to come forward is the previous motion when the billboard was proposed further north, it pretty much had died at that point, and so the direction from the board was not to allow that to occur. However, this is a different location, and but this would be the appropriate method that Mr. Schneider comes to the board and asks that we look into it, because from staff's perspective, we didn't want to be doing something that maybe the board is not interested in.
Okay. And can we take action on that?
You might not, but it's for you, and then we can start. Well, be at the next board meeting on June 4th, okay. June 3rd, excuse me, July 3rd, okay. That you can formally make a direction as far as which way you would like us to proceed.
Is that, again, a billboard size?
Yes.
Which is already non-conforming?
Correct.
Why would it go on this path again?
It's a different location. The last time we were here, if the main objections was it was residential, a lot of people that lived around that billboard were against it.
I do recall.
This location's non-residential. Shouldn't create any problems that was raised the last time.
I know I also had a concern that the previous one was at a crossing or near what's going to be a flashing beacon crossing and distractions, but okay. Any other questions for Mr. Snyder? I thank you very much for your persistence.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Recognizing me or somebody behind me?
Someone behind you.
Okay.
Speak into the mic.
Please.
My name is David Slambo. I live on Riverside Drive in Briar.
Hello, David.
They know where I'm at.
Yep, I sure
do. I have the hawk in the back part of my yard, which is the high density pedestrian crossing, and I want to report that it's being used more and more and more as people learn about it. They're actually learning to say, it's just as easy to go use the hawk and go around and push it and stop the traffic. It's not a problem, but it's fun to watch different people decide to use it or not. Six bikes in a row, come along, stop. They all ride across to go right down and go straight up prior. It's fun to watch. The flip side of that is I think there's a need. We talked about beautification. The look of that little lot right there. I'm not necessarily real clean because I just took down all the 2 feet of weeds that are in there. The dirt that's in there is literally subsoil. It's not topsoil. It's not good for anything. And I think there's still some landscaping. There's some work to do to clean it up. And as an example, one of the signposts that's up the street still has a divot in it, so after the last night rain, there's still a puddle of water in that divot. So I think there's opportunity there to improve the appearance.
Now you're talking about on the terrace or in that little cutout by your fence?
The cutout is just weeds.
Okay.
But the sign that comes along and says stop here,
yep.
Where they dug it, they put it in, and they put it in with backfill.
Yep.
A lot of gravel backfill. It wasn't tamped down, wasn't smoothed down. It was done in the winter, yep. And it hasn't come back and look at it. There's still some excavation a little bit north of the push button that is like this far above the sidewalk. And again, it's subsoil. It's not topsoil. And I'm not sure who owns it or who's going to clean it up or do whatever. I just wanted to bring it to the attention because I really like the thing. It works well. I gave property, sold property, and I was hesitant to do that, but watching people do it, and it's improving safety all around. So I just want to bring that to the board.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And the drivers are stopping appropriately, mostly?
Well, we have a sheriff here. I heard from one woman in particular, she says it's interesting when I push the button, the traffic coming southbound tends to speed up because they don't want to stop. The other side is because you could sit there right in the corner and just watch it happen. Money in the bank. My other thought is I think people don't understand the signaling. because they remain stopped as the red lights are blinking. Red light blinking means it's a stop sign, it's not a stop light, and you can proceed if it's clear. And perhaps a newspaper article or two or the magazine would be helpful. The magazine may not get the coverage, but the local newspaper a couple times this summer might get around. People would pick up on that. So, yes, people are obeying. And I have seen some people, because they're just not paying attention, but the pedestrians are listening.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. Is there any? Mr. Matuszak.
From 2626 Southwest, sir. I'm glad this is all known as ahead of me because what I had to say is kind of related to that because I was really totally surprised that the DOT does not have a counter on that signal. How do we know it's being used? Well, now I hear it's being used. I think it was a good idea, but not to have a counter on that so they got some good judge for the future. But I understand they went to the north, it's going to be a flashing signal, so that's the matter.
Yeah, I'm going to be stepping back on another item later on, presuming it will open up 8 when you get there.
Okay.
And I hope you announced the amount received under number 5, because I couldn't find it in the offer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Clarence, you have something to say on number 8?
Yes.
Okay. I'll remember that. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on anything that's not on this evening's agenda?
Chima Work, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village Galloway Bike Ped Committee. I have three things that I'm concerned about. One is, once again, the village is going to be using the Plan Development District process, the PDD process, to possibly circumvent the zoning code. And the current, if you want to build something not in compliance with the zoning code, you need to change the zoning code and make it permissible for everybody to do that. So you did it on the brewery, you did it on old Chapel Hill apartments, you did it on the Mayflower Town and Country property, and it's going to go on down at done at the Mariner Hotel. So you need to correct the zoning code. You can't keep circumventing the zoning code because that's not legal. Number two, I'd like all meetings, when you're having meetings with developers and talking about the sale of surplus properties and doing developer agreements that's going to impact neighbors, those should all be in open session. They should not be in closed session. For example, later on tonight, you're going to, on number 11, you're going to be talking about the sale of properties. That should be in open as much as possible. And if you have to talk about a couple of things, you can close the session, but it should be in as open as possible. That's one of the requirements of the law. And then thirdly, I'd like to know what the public purpose of purchasing the Town and Country property was that is going to be sold tonight. What was the public purpose of purchasing the property from the county? No park went in, no sidewalk went in. In fact, you threatened to shut down the bike ped committee when a sidewalk was proposed for that site, and the state wanted to put a crossing at that site. So I'd like to know what the lawful public purpose of purchasing the Town and Country site was. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 5, action regarding ratifying the sale of 3241-3245 Riverside Drive. Fred, would you like to say something?
Sure, I'll take this. We did receive an offer from a Karen Fossen to purchase that property for both parcels. We had it listed for the last couple of years. We did have a potential project at one time, but due to circumstances that did not go forward. Ms. Clausen has offered the price of $100,000 to the village for the purchase of that property in an effort for her to build a combination, a mixed-use project of office and a second-story apartment for herself. So we're here tonight. We did counter with some additional verbiage that indicated that she cannot sell the property within 24 months of the closing, that she needs to start her construction within 12 months and have a certificate of occupancy within 24 months, and she's agreed to all those.
And if it doesn't, if she doesn't complete by then, it reverts to the...
It reverts back to the village of Allen, correct.
Thank you. And how much did we purchase that property for?
We have approximately $60,000 into that property.
Okay. We sold it for $100,000.
We sold it for $100,000.
And it's going to be worth a lot more with the building.
Right.
Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich,
I move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion?
Just that, you know, mixed use is something we've been trying to get going for a long time, and this is a perfect example. So I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all that we have a motion and a second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 6, action regarding Old River Condominium Engineering Agreement from the Public Works Committee meeting on June 13th.
Old River Condominium LLC is currently proposing a 15-unit condominium complex at a site located west of Riverside Drive, south of the Heritage Hill Pond, and north of the Cove property, west of or east of the Fox River. We've been working with the developer on permits, plans, specs, to clearly define responsibilities and costs. We've put together an engineering agreement. We've sat down with the developer multiple times to provide them comment on their plans and to review this agreement. You have the agreement tonight. And quickly highlight some of the major points. To adequately serve the 15 units, we had proposed to the developer public water main into this development to ensure a safe and properly maintained system. They had proposed a 6-inch private water main, and we were able to convince them to put in an 8-inch public water main that would be in an easement, which is included in here. Because they had proposed a 6-inch water main and we requested an 8, we will be paying for that additional cost. I have it in this agreement. I believe that the additional cost will be roughly $8,500. The village will be responsible for that. In addition to the public water main, they will be installing public sanitary sewer to serve this site. There is an interceptor sewer that runs north-south to the site now. The system would connect to that. The sanitary sewer and water main would be designed in accordance to DNR and city specifications. We would be required to inspect it to meet the DNR code. The expense of that would be billed. The expense of having an inspector there would be billed to the developer. They anticipate that the work to take 2 to 3 weeks. Brad and I quickly looked at what that cost might be because they want in the contract the cost not to exceed. We anticipate that the inspection services that they would pay for would be roughly $8,500. As I mentioned before, the public water main and sanitary sewer being public easements, they would put together those agreements for our review and signature. The expense of this sanitary sewer and water main would be, with the exception of upsizing of the water main, would be entirely theirs. They would provide a guarantee, a one-year guarantee, that that the system would be successfully constructed. In the event that we have issues, that they would be required to make any kind of repairs within 1 year. So the driveway itself begins at the northeast corner of the site, extends west along the north property line, and then south would be privately owned. It would be built to village spec because they had requested that that the garbage containers be picked up at the end of the driveway, so the village would have to enter the site and pick up the garbage containers. We feel that that's a better option than having the owners of these condominiums that have them haul them up to Riverside. We'd be willing to go in and pick those up at the end of the driveways, as long as the driveway, the private roadway itself, could handle the loading from the garbage trucks. Stormwater facilities that will serve this site will, for the most part, be private, and they will be providing us a maintenance agreement to ensure that they're properly maintained and inspected. There is a small portion of this site that will drain directly into our Heritage Hill Fund, and we are currently coming up with a fee in lieu of on-site treatment and storage to compensate the village for their expense with the construction of the Heritage Trail Pond. Trail connection. I know that was already previously discussed at a village board meeting. They have agreed to provide the village $22,000 to help build a multi-use path, and they're required to make a they're going to make two installment payments, with the last being on or before July 1st of next year. We have agreed to put together plans, specs, and permits for that, and we have also tentatively agreed to have that trail built by November of 2019. I do want to remind everybody that, you know, this isn't set in stone yet, that if you have some comments tonight, that we can work with the developer to make any changes that you feel necessary. However, they're anxious to get started on this project, and they're close to receiving permit approvals on stormwater that would allow them to get started with grading. The also included in this agreement would be a financial guarantee that they provide us a letter of credit in the event that that they don't follow through with the construction of the public sanitary and water main, that there would be a dollar amount. They would provide the village enough funds so that we could complete the installation of the sewer and water main. We haven't received that yet. If you're going to take action on this tonight, I'd make your action contingent upon receiving a letter of credit from the bank. Through discussions with them, they're hopefully get started soon with construction sometime this summer. When they do get started with the construction, the sewer and water main, they want to install it in its entirety this year, and we put a completion date in this agreement of November 9th this year. I don't think I have anything else for this. Well, the attorney fees. The village attorney has reviewed this agreement. He had made some minor comments. One of his comments was to add attorney fees in the event that they breach this. They would be responsible for all attorney fees incurred to enforce the terms of this agreement. When we met with the ownership group, they thought that item had kind of left a bad taste in their mouth, and they had asked that we ask the village attorney if that could be removed. I haven't heard back yet from Randy, but we feel that if the condominium LLC provides, or the owner provides the letter of credit, that we may be willing to remove that from this agreement.
So those funds would be able to come out of that?
The $150,000 that would serve as collateral would be enough to build what they're proposing.
But not cover our attorney fees if we have to go after them for anything. If that's not in the contract.
However, if we do have to enter into any kind of a lawsuit at that point in time, we can always request the court to pay. We're not saying we're not going to accept attorney's fees or charge attorney.
Yeah, we can leave them in here.
I'd be more comfortable on just leaving them in. I mean, if they're not going to default, there shouldn't be any issue. So okay. The only time that would ever get used is, I don't know. Me for one is uncomfortable taking that out.
Okay. Anything else?
I have a question. This might be a dumb question, but it's a question. The completion of the sanitary sewer and water main, there's for 1 year, and it's going in November 19th. It should be completed, right? So then that 1 year goes from November.
They're anxious to get started on it now. We put a completion date for installation of the sewer and water main of November 9th of this year.
This year.
My
question is, if it's, we have a year for faulty construction,
yep,
on that, right?
Yep.
But the buildings won't be done. Is it truly tested if the buildings aren't done in a year?
It will, number four will take over acceptance of this, of those sewer and water main. It will need to be tested. The testing includes prep for the water main, includes pressure testing and safe sample tests. The sanitary sewer will require that televised, and we'll, from the televised report, that we'll look at the condition of a new pipe, which should be,
So it doesn't actually have to be in use to test it?
When we test the water main, it will be in use. We will fill that water main and get it up to a certain pressure to make sure that it will hold pressure and no leaks. We'll get the safe samples that we need before it's active, I guess. No, to answer your question, no.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Simple yes or no. Trustee Harris.
John, a couple other questions.
Yeah.
Why are we vacating the existing 20-foot sewer easement?
Yeah, in 2015, the village had constructed the Heritage Hill Pond. In conjunction with that project, we ran a new 21-inch sanitary sewer, along with a fairly large storm sewer pipe parallel to the existing sanitary sewer at that time. That existing sanitary sewer was abandoned in place, and that easement is no longer needed.
Okay, thank you. And then if we're at the bottom of page one, in terms of the highlighted area, in an amount not to exceed. We don't have a dollar figure, so we wouldn't be approving this without a dollar figure designated, correct?
I did talk to Keith Garrett, the developer for this project. I was hopeful to get a schedule from him today. We didn't get it. Brad and I had quickly come up with an estimate of how long this project will take and at what cost, the inspection of it anyways. And to have an inspector out there for 3 weeks, we had come up with the dollar amount of $8,500.
I heard you mention that, but that's also the same figure as the water main expansion. So I wanted to clarify.
When I talked to Keith today, he had talked. I was hopeful to get a schedule that I could attach to this agreement and get it. But he did tell me that the contractor doesn't anticipate more than 2 weeks to install the sewer and water main.
Okay.
So I think we're covered. With the $8,500, we could increase that if you guys
are comfortable with that figure. I am too.
Okay.
Then I just want to make sure that we have that denoted in whatever's agreed upon. And then, kind of for my own education, in terms of the size of the public water main, we've got 8 inches. You said they were proposing 6. Is 6 the minimum that's acceptable? Or I'm trying to understand why we're paying $8,500 to expand it from 6 to 8.
They had an engineer take a look at what they needed to serve just this development, and six inch was sufficient. We're aware of another future development just west of here, of this site. It would be at to the village's best interest to provide something that could serve that development in the future, the future development.
Okay. We had looked at
if this system is looped, what we would need to not only serve this, but that future development, and 8 inch would be needed.
Understood. Okay, that helps.
Good answer.
In terms of the trail connection, should we add any wording about the amount of time after the first unit closes where the first payment needs to be made?
At the end of the year,
I don't know if it matters or not to put in the amount of time afterwards.
I know that was discussed previously, and whatever was discussed previously at the village board meeting, we had put under that item, I think we had previously agreed to two equal installments. They had previously agreed to two equal installments, the first installment being paid at the closing of the first condominium unit or by the end of this year, whichever comes first.
Okay, as you're talking, I was thinking about it. We probably won't even start our own costs on the connection until 19. So as long as we would get the money by the end of 18, we should be fine.
Correct.
Okay.
Anything else?
I think I'm done.
Thank you. Sean, could you confirm with the contractor what Keith told you about it only being a 2 week project?
Okay.
Anything? Any other comments? Hearing none. Yes.
I just have a question. Are you expecting them to start in the next 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
Before they can get started, they need DNR and village stormwater permits. I'd like to have this signed as well, along with letter of credit.
So do we have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
I would make a motion we approve with all your contingencies, and that we do not take out our specification of if there is a dispute, the attorney fees are in there and the attorney fees are theirs.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 7, action regarding request for temporary Class B and Class B retailers license for Pooches and Pints event at Green Isle Park on August 2nd and August 3rd, or August 2nd from 3 to 8 p.m. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? For those of you in the audience who don't know, Pooches and Pints is a new activity taking place in Green Isle Park to allow people to bring their dogs in and celebrate and have fun. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 8, action regarding enlisting the services of St. Norbert College to conduct an economic impact study for Green Bay Correctional Institution. And as you know, there's a study being done at the state level for $600,000 to study the criminal justice system or the correction system across the state and to look at the facilities to see, for example, GBCI is a maximum security prison. So to see what are the conditions of these properties and what is the best way to go forward as a system. And back in 2009, they had a study done. And back in 2009, the Green Bay Correctional Institution was deemed to need about $140 million in work to bring it basically up to code. And so Representative David Steffen, who oversees this area or represents us down in Madison, last year submitted a proposal for the state to sell Green Bay Correctional Institution and to build a new prison elsewhere. And that measure did not go forward, but now the governor is conducting a study of the statewide. That'll be done this fall. And the purpose we're running, as you hopefully know, we have a petition going around to let people who support the effort to close the prison and build a development that would bring people together to increase property value of Alloway, to help us reduce the need in the future to increase taxes, but really to create a destination. And to do our part, the proposal before the board tonight is to fund an economic impact study. Questions that I have had and many of us have had, what will go there and what will it do for Alloway? And what will it do for Brown County? I happen to think that based on our comprehensive plan here in Alloway and the corridor studies that we conducted back in 2015 and the big study and plan for Brown County to grow and to bring people into this area, a redevelopment of this property is exactly what all three of those plans are asking for. Because our state legislators are going to have to ask questions later on. For example, if we get rid of this, if we close it down, what's going to go in its place? What is the value of that property? If they're considering a different property to close instead of GBCI, if we can demonstrate that it brings a great deal of value to our area and to Brown County, hopefully that puts us in a better position. And so the proposal before you is to have St. Norbert's conduct an economic impact study, much like the one you may have heard for the Oneida Nation that they did not too long ago, but on a much smaller scale, to determine what the property value could be based on a mixed-use development, a high-end mixed-use development. And with all of the pieces that our studies have told us people are looking for in this area, what kind of jobs can be created? What kind of what is the economic impact not only to Alloway, but to all of Brown County? And Brad and staff sat down with St. Norbert's, and they came back with two proposals. One was for the study that you see before us, the one I just described, and one was a bigger study. And the bigger study would add to this study what is the impact of short-term jobs to the area for developing that property, wages, that sort of thing. I believe it's Brad's opinion that because of timing and because of what we're looking for at this point, it's a high-level estimate. We know a lot of jobs are going to be created to develop that property. I personally think the important thing to know is long-term, what is that a redevelopment of that property going to do for Alloway and Brown County, and so that we can share those numbers in time for the state legislator and the governor to make their decision. So that is why this is before you, and I will make a motion to approve. And that the cost of the study, I'm sorry, is $12,500. It'll be completed by August 1st. And the study will, I'll just read this for you. The study would analyze, assuming the mix of retail, commercial, and housing on the site, the potential annual economic impact on output, employee compensation, and jobs in Brown County, as well as the potential tax revenue implications. These findings are measured on a recurring annual basis as the renovated site generates economic activity in future years. The cost of the study is $12,500, and the Village Board is asked to consider contracting with St. Norbert to complete the study. Thank you. Just a second. So the motion on the table is to contract with St. Norbert for $12,500 to conduct an economic impact study of that property. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion?
My first thought was, do we need to do something now? I wasn't privy to what you were just talking about, the $600,000 study, the results of which are supposed to be available this fall.
Yep.
So maybe it would make more sense, because I thought, well, is this something we can put off, given the fact that this is a number of years out? But maybe there is more urgency than I would have thought originally.
Are there other prison properties in the state targeted for potential closure? I've not heard of
that. I've heard of.
Okay.
Except for the youth prisons that I've heard about.
Oh, right.
So if move forward, they'd be able to complete it by August 1st?
Yep.
So 6 weeks from, in essence, 6 weeks from now.
Yep.
Do you know, did we also reach out to, or have we contacted UWGB to see what their capabilities are for something like this?
We did not.
Okay.
And the funding would have to be from?
General fund.
Existing fund balance?
Mm-hmm. Fund balance, right.
Okay.
But St. Norbert has the experience of right. doing these for others as well.
Yep.
Do we think, well, we must think if we wouldn't be looking at this, that it would serve as support for our position on this?
I believe so. And that's the intent of we say that, you know, it's been said that that property could be worth $80 million, but that's $80 million of property value.
Mm-hmm.
That's not overall impact to the economy here in Brown County. So in terms of jobs and compensation and all that, bringing other people into the area to do business with our local businesses. I think, personally, I think it's a responsible thing to do. I know we have people from any other comments from the board at this point. Okay, we have a request from the floor to open it up. Do I have a motion for that? Trustee Green, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We'll invite Mr. Matuszek up.
Clarence Matuszek, 2680 South Webster. I'm squeaking in my own ear. I'm in favor of the study. I think it's a good idea. I think the selection of St. Norbert also, for Mr. Harris, they've got a good track record. And my guess is they're probably cheaper than if you went to an outside consultant or one. Related to that, you mentioned about the state spending $600 million. Do you know if they're going to update that 2009 study? Because to my mind, you know, as a common layman just glancing at it, should be able to build a pretty nice prison for $140 million.
Well, I do think that's what the study is.
Could it include that?
It's a redo of that study.
Okay.
It's my understanding.
And then finally, this is kind of related, but it's not directly. You're going to use general fund monies, which is okay, but for several years now, this would be a good job from Mr. Harris. Each year you put a pittance in for contingency funds, which contingency fund is necessary. But each year you spend much more money. That no use a contingency fund. So I think that this year, when you create a contingency fund, you make it realistic so you don't tap that general fund. So I think if you look at maybe the last 5 years of fund transfers for various projects, it'll give you a little handle. And at the same time, you might as well look at that growing surplus. Maybe we can apply it as a tax rate someday.
Duly noted. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anything else?
I think I covered it all.
Thank you, Clarence.
Sorry. Are you surprised I'm supporting a private study?
No.
I am.
Oh. You support things that make sense, Clarence.
Thank you.
Jim?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I was also on the contractor selection committee for the corridor studies. There was supposed to be a three-part study. The corridor study was never completed. We should have a lot of funds left over for that. It was projected when we started that each of the sections of the corridor study was supposed to cost somewhere around $50,000 per section. The first contractor gave us Section 1 on Riverside Drive and part of Webster Avenue for a really good price, so we went with that. But we never finished the corridor study that includes the prison and the DNR property, as well as the Town and Country driving range and the Town and Country Supper Club site. So that money has already been approved tentatively by the board several years ago, and the corridor study should be completed, and the DNR property, the state park, Heritage Hill State Park, the 14 acres, is already one-third under development by us. We put the pond on there, and we spoke earlier tonight that we're going to be putting in the bike trail connection, so that leaves maybe another 10 acres left of that 14-acre site. So we need to look at the DNR state property and work with Heritage Hill. We happen to have the Heritage Hill president of the board here, I believe. Jim?
Right.
Yeah, so Jim's president of the Heritage Hill. So we need to work with Heritage Hill, the DNR, and the private developer who's going to be putting in the subdivision that was just talked about earlier on why we need the 8-inch pipe instead of the 6-inch pipe. So there's a lot going on here. We should look at the entire corridor, section of the corridor, from Heritage Hill to St. Mary's Street and make sure that that's included. And you need to make sure that they have enough money. I don't know if $12,000 is enough. Maybe you should give them $15,000 or whatever it is to take it and include those other three or four properties.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I forgot what I had.
Come on up.
I neglected to mention, thinking I'm a knowledgeable citizen, this effort so far has come much further than I thought it would. And before Reverend Stephen introduced it, I said, good luck, seriously, because it could be a huge, huge obstacle. You get it up and running, and I guess my advice is don't let up now, because they got it going. So you can dump it on the governor's desk and say, hey, you've got to do something.
Thank you, Clarence.
Yeah.
Anyone? Yes, ma'am.
Mary Harrison, 1484 McCormick Street.
Hey, Mary.
And first, I would like to thank you all for your service. I spent some time in a country that had a dictatorship, and we couldn't talk about politics unless we swam in the ocean or we would get thrown in jail. And since then, every time I'm honored to be part of the democratic process, I'm very grateful. So thank you for all you do for our village. And I also want to thank our staff who work so hard. I'm here to address the proposed moving of the prison. And I'm going from what I read in the paper. So I wasn't aware of the state study that's being conducted. But I am concerned that when our village voice comes out, that the focus is on economic development. And I understand cerebrally why. So I'm here to say that we also need to think of the people inside the prison, not only the staff, but the prisoners, that we can save a lot of money if we make proper science-based policy decisions about the people inside as well. So I realize that's not under your purview, but I think it would be good to somehow, in the messaging, be on a positive page on that, so that it doesn't sound like all we're thinking about is economic gain, because it's not the heart of our village and the heart of who you are. So somehow we need to fix that a little bit.
Well, thank you, Mary. That's, and actually, it's a good point that you bring up. We didn't bring it up tonight, but throughout the conversation, one of the issues is, or one of the opportunities is economic development. The reasons for moving the prison are many, one of which is safety for prisoners, for the staff, for the ability to help reduce recidivism and have programs that will help the inmates. So a lot of these things have been talked about previously. We just didn't bring those up tonight.
Well, in terms of the public messaging, I guess I wasn't concerned about tonight, but it'd be nice to weave those together a little bit, to put a human face on it so that it doesn't look like we're quite so greedy. So,
thank you
but
very
I don't
much.
Think that's the driving force, but that's what it feels like in that, and when I read the paper. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Is there anyone else who would like to speak tonight on this issue? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. We have a motion and a second on this item. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. And on another note, as we've talked about, there are many pieces to this, to the whole prison discussion. And just as we did with the corridor study and what we're doing with Webster Avenue to help developers and help people see what we are thinking as a village, next Tuesday, put it on your calendars, that next Tuesday at 5 o'clock, we are going to be hosting a meeting here in Alloway, or here in the Village Hall, and we are going to have a press conference and a presentation on what could be built on this property. And then we'll have an open house to be able to look at things and look at ideas. And I think it's a very exciting thing because besides the question, do you really think it can happen, which I get a lot, I get the question, well, what's going there? And I see things on social media. Is it going to be a bunch of houses? Is it going to be a strip mall? You know, what is it going to be? Well, our comprehensive plan and our corridor study and the Brown County study give us a lot of guidance. So we're going to have a presentation on that, and I think hopefully everyone will enjoy it.
What is the date?
Next Tuesday, June 26th, 5 o'clock, right here.
Kim, who's doing the presentation?
It is going to be put on by, I'll do part of it, and an Alloway resident who has volunteered his services is going to be doing a big part of the presentation. As we know, we are blessed to have many talented and good people here in Alloway, and we just happen to find one more. So,
I suggest a press release in case you haven't done it to let the people know.
It's going out Friday, right, Brad? Good idea. Any questions on that? Okay, hope you can all be here. Let us move on to agenda item number 9, amending code 151, animals. Mr. Atwood.
And the TV cameras are gone. This is important.
The newspaper's still here.
No, I'm kidding. Actually, I want to address this because not only has it happened to me on numerous occasions, I've had it brought up to me, and just recently a resident phoned me on it. So I think we need to review this. I'd like to just discuss it, you know, for today's purpose, but kind of get everybody's opinion on it. But pun intended here, we've got these ordinances in place so that they really don't have any teeth in them. So it's just, if we look at 151-6 and we go all the way down to letter D, where restrained by solid fence sufficient to contain the animal, I would like to add electric fence in there. I would also like it to require residents to post that they have the electric fence at some point in their yard, to maybe for a for an interior residential lot, and maybe three signs for a corner lot, because as a walker, it takes that fear factor out to know that that dog is going to stop when it's on a dead run, you know, towards me. Can it run through the fence? Yeah, but it could break a chain and it could jump over a fence too. So, but just that peace of mind of knowing that that animal is going to stop. Back up a couple of lines to C. On a 6-foot leash, I'd move to extend that to at least 10 feet. I mean, if you're out walking your pet, you want to be able to pet to be able to move around a little bit, and you've got control of the pet. That's all contained in other portions of our ordinance codes as to if you're walking your animal, you have to be of a physical stature to be able to maintain that animal. You have to have the right chain, the right leash, the right, you know, whatever the case may be. So, fast forwarding to a menacing fashion on 151-9, menacing fashion. Well, we get into 1, 2, and 3, where it says an attempt to bite a person or another animal in such a fashion as a show, you know, plainly reasonable, growling, barking in unfriendly manner, growling, barking, unfriendly manner, while making physical contact with a person or another. Now I just paraphrased all that and skipped through it. I think we need to implement some sort of a penalty on here. The resident who called me the other day said that they were fearful enough by this particular dog that chased them into moving traffic on Libel Street. Okay, that can't continue. You know, I've been attacked, or my dog has been attacked on walks on 2 or 3 various occasions here. Just in the last year and a half, not counting previous years. I think we should implement some sort of a fine that if it happens on first offense and second offense, that the fine escalates on the second offense. But on the first offense, I would be open to a $150 fine with $100 of it being refunded, providing the particular animal had its proper shots and was registered with the village. If it wasn't, that $100 would be applied towards getting those shots at maybe an Alloway veterinary clinic. These are all open for discussion. Mm-hmm. So, second offense, I would actually double that. In a third offense, I would actually require a forfeiture of the animal because obviously they can't maintain them. These are just thoughts. I want to talk about them because it's a real problem. It's a real problem. And if you've ever been attacked by a dog or if your pet has been attacked by another dog, it's frightening.
It is frightening.
Any thoughts?
So for a menacing fashion, for a menacing dog, if they're behind a fence and they're growling and barking, they're not menacing, correct?
I would say not, but if that dog has the ability to jump that fence.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things under the interpretation. And if you read this entire code, it's awfully wordy. You know, I'd just say if your dog leaves the property and chases somebody, here's your penalty. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here. So, I mean, we can get as wordy as we need to get. But, I mean, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 double-sided pages.
Yeah. The
are there a lot of incidences around the village? You personally have had a few. I personally haven't, but I don't have a dog to walk either. So, Brad, you know, are we getting a lot of complaints or feedback? Or
excuse me. The complaints most likely are probably going to our animal control officer, and I can follow up with her to see how many she has received, and then I'll check with the rest of the staff too, so that we can bring those.
We had the bad incident up on Hoffman Road.
Correct.
A year ago, maybe more now.
I think that was 2 years ago.
Okay. And those people have since vacated.
Correct.
I can't say the problem is solved, but it's gone.
Yeah, I would say there was unsatisfactory resolution of that one prior to them leaving.
Yeah.
Still in the process, of course.
Yeah.
There's still restitution that needs to be paid.
If not, that'll...
Well, you know, and it kind of speaks to my point here on some of the menacing dog. And some of the there's no penalty in here. It just says you shouldn't. You shame on you. I mean, I'm being facetious here, but you know what I mean.
Well, there probably is a penalty because if they're breaking an ordinance, they would be cited. They would go before the judge, right? And he would apply.
Are those fines?
It seems to pretty much just apply to if there's injury, if there's a bite of some sort. It's not, I mean, a person should be able to walk down the sidewalk without being approached by a dog with its tail down, ears back, hair standing up on its back, and having the owner say, oh, he just wants to play. That's not my attitude of playing.
Yeah. But you're trying to protect people more, and then the electric fence, case in point, if you have a dog tail down, ears back, growling and running at you, even though there's a sign that says electric fence.
One little shock in it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. In a fence too short, and they're over.
Yeah.
Case in point, 4 doors down for me. I mean, I looked at the owner, and I said, he could probably jump that fence. He said, yeah, probably. I said, well, he doesn't look very nice.
So. Well, the electric fences, some of them come, people put them awful close to the sidewalk in some locations before, yeah.
I mean, I think the ideal situation would be to have electric fences containing an animal to the backyard only, you know, because some people do get them in the parameters of their entire front yard. I'm guilty. I have it my entire front yard. I don't use my electric fence because I just
your
don't like shocking my
animal. Very menacing.
Yeah.
Is it a poodle?
But that's,
yes, it is.
That's, that would be an option. Okay.
I was walking down the street, and I think this was on the edge of Green Bay and Alloway. But I was just walking in the sidewalk, and there was a dog just laying there on the grass looking really nice, and it jumped up and it bit me in the face and in the eye.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm, that was a few years ago. It looked like, you know, I mean, it didn't look menacing when I was walking by. And his owner came out, "Oh, it's really nice. Here, pet it. I'm not going to pet that monster."
Here, pet him.
Pet him and let him bite you again.
Because it's not real obvious.
So you would like us...
I'm sorry. Is it really obvious in here?
There,
I did read it really thoroughly. What to do if there's a menacing animal? Because I've had someone ask me about that, and their children were chased, and they were very frightened, and the kids were crying. And this is very recent.
I've read this twice.
I said, well, I would call the police, because I really didn't know who would call. So you probably got that call.
And Debbie just pointed out to me here that if you go to section... Well, let's just go to the second to last page, letter F, violations and penalties. Any person who violates this section shall pay a forfeiture of not less than $10 nor more than $1,000 for each violation, each day the violation occurs or continues. Shall constitute. You know why I think I missed that? It's because it's kind of underneath that beekeeper section. Which would make me think that it was part of the mucilage colony and keeping bees. I don't feel like it fell underneath that.
I think dogs would be less of a problem personally.
What's that?
I think dogs would be less of a problem
personally. So would you like for us to would you like staff to take your comments and contact Monica and
I think that'd be a good idea. Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I think we just need to take it to the next step.
And maybe even inviting her to village board meeting to discuss this. I know she has her reasons for why she recommended this, and so that would be a great discussion to have.
Okay. Thank you.
You are welcome. Would you like to make a recommendation for agenda item number 10?
Yeah, we could invite. I'm thinking of the title, proper title, of her
humane officer.
Humane officer.
Animal control.
Animal officer. Control. To come and maybe justify why that's in there.
And Brad can have a discussion with her ahead of time to.
Yeah, maybe just have that discussion ahead of time because I you know, we could sit here and put this on the next agenda item and the next agenda item and the next agenda item and have it never get taken care of. So.
I'd love a discussion about the electric fences, too, in the front yard. What is she seeing as best practice?
I would suggest having her come to the next meeting, and then she can just do an overview of what she sees in our ordinance, things that she has dealt with, and then we can work on it with staff, any changes that are necessary to bring back at a later date.
Good idea. And she would have knowledge of other municipalities, too, because she works for Howard and Bellevue, I think, so.
And when we did our recodification of our codes, we did do a simple search of anyone that's under the same, using the same system we are. So we can find a lot of information out very quickly.
I just have one more question. This is a curiosity question only. Under 151-63, what is Goose Patrol?
The Goose Patrol?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for people.
Individuals could come to the village and get a permit to run their dogs. It's a method to keep geese off
property.
Soccer fields, baseball fields.
So they're putting the dogs to work?
Yes, they're basically work dogs. That's what they do. And
that's what they love to do?
Yes.
Raskies.
There's just two articles in the news tonight. I think the city of Shawnee opened 4 city parks to dogs to chase geese away. And I think the city of Madison just agreed to hunt them, to reduce the geese herd.
It can become a nuisance.
Yeah. So it's, pretty prevalent.
Okey-doke. Are we done with that discussion?
Sure.
Thank you. We will then move on to item number 10, future agenda items. Is there anything anyone else would like to see on a future agenda item?
I was approached by Becky Nyberg. I think most of us know Becky, very active in the biking and pedestrian community and all the rest, and she's concerned about if you are on the new, relatively new trail just south of Heritage Hill and you want to cross Riverside Drive there, there are built-in islands. And by design, the car is supposed to, that's on Riverside, let's say heading south, and maybe they want to turn to go on to 172 or proceed south, they're supposed to stop. There is a curb cut in that island in the middle of the street. But a lot of times the cars don't stop there. They're ahead of it. So then the person with the bicycle has to either go around the front of the island, over the front of the island, around the car into traffic. And she was wondering, is there a better way to look at that, address that, or do something about that? So I said, well, I'd bring it up and at least put it on an agenda item at some point to see. It is a state highway. I'm assuming DOT then would have responsibility, but we could at least promote some awareness of that, try to get people to stop where they're supposed to stop, not in the crosswalk in a sense. You know.
So her concern is on Riverside, not on Webster.
Correct. I think it's just limited to the Riverside, which is a new crossing there.
Is that something we should send to Public Works, do you think?
Yeah. I think it'd be good.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Even a stop here sign. Mm-hmm. Make sure you stop that line.
Okay. Anything else? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 11. Do I have a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session? Specifically, offers to purchase 1677 South Webster Avenue and 535 Green Avenue.
Do I have a motion?
Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter, aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.